Well, friends, if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn with me to a little known and little read book, but the shortest book in all of the Bible, and that is the letter of 3 John. 3 John. It's right after 2 John and right before Jude. It is a book that only has one chapter. It only has 15 verses, but it is going to provide the foundation for where I want to spend a little bit of time this evening, wrapping up our series, thinking about missions. We've been thinking about missions for the last 4 weeks, and tonight we're going to close that series out by thinking about this question. What does God expect of us? So far, we've thought about what do we mean by missions? Where do missionaries come from? Where do missionaries go? And now the question is left with us, and particularly us who are not necessarily called to go to the nations. Okay, so I'm not assuming that all of us are called. I'm assuming some of us are called to go and to give our lives to the gospel going to those who have not heard. But what of those of us who are here in this local church for hopefully a long time, but however long the Lord has us here? What does God expect of us as it relates to our vision and our goal for missions? And this is what we find to some degree laid out here in a portion of the letter of 3 John. Before I read it, let me remind you of the three aims that we've had in this series on mission. Aims number one in this series on missions, aim number one, is that God would help us have a biblical understanding of what He wants us to do as it relates to the globe. That we would have a biblical understanding of what God expects of His people to do as it relates to the world around us. Our second aim then has been that God would help grow a hunger for seeing not some seminary or some training curriculum or some society of missionaries to help raise up future missionaries, but that God would help us to see and grow in our conviction that actually discipleship in the local church is the main means in which missionaries are born. So discipleship is the key for building missionaries. And then that leads to the last aim, is that God would use these series of talks and our meditations on missions to raise up, equip, and send out and support Christians for God's kingdom expansion around the globe. And so let me remind you of our short definition of missions, and then I'll read our text for this evening. We're taking this from Craig Shepherd, who's a professor of missions at the Reformed Theological Seminary. He says, missions is the plan and act of God. So that's key. I've brought this up every week. It is the plan and act of God, not of man, for redeeming and making disciples from every tongue, tribe, and nation by, how does He do it? By sending His people to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, showing them the gracious, redeeming love of a glorious God. And, where does it end? And to organize them into biblical worshiping churches. So the goal of missions is for us to go into the nations proclaiming the gospel and for that proclamation to roll over into the establishment of biblical worshiping churches. And it seems that this kind of expectation is really where I want us to think about tonight in a very practical sense. And this is what we find in John's third letter. Let me read there verses 1 through 8. It says, "The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Behold, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers. For I rejoice greatly when brothers came and bore witness to your truth, that is how you are walking in truth. I have no greater joy than this, to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, you are acting faithfully in whatever work you do for the brothers, and are doing this through, though they are strangers. And they bore witness to your love before the church." And here we go. "You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they went out for the sake of the name." And hopefully in your translation it capitalizes the N there in name. "Receiving nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support such men so that we may be fellow workers with the truth." And that is what I want to hone in on this evening, is that the call of the local church as it relates to missions is the same call that John gives this brother Gaius here, is that he would send them out in a manner worthy of God, for they went out for the sake of the name, that they go out with a purpose, that they're sent in a manner worthy so that they may proclaim the name. And that we ought to support such men. That word there, support, is key in what I want to get out. That support fleshes itself out in several different ways that I want to look at with you for a few minutes, but supporting. So this is really a very practical guide on our part as missions as a church and where we are and where I want us to go. And I mentioned this at the beginning of these talks, and I think I mentioned this at one of our members' meetings recently. But my prayer as the lead pastor, and I think David and Sean are on board with this at this point, is that in the next 25 years, so 25 years from now, that as a church, 50% of our budget would be given to the gospel going out in local and national and international missions. That we would be giving 50% of the funds that are brought in by this church to seeing the gospel go to the nations. Now, maybe that won't be necessary because Jesus will come back. Praise God if he does. But if he tarries, that we would give ourselves to that. And to accomplish this, then we have to set ourselves on a certain trajectory. And so, in some ways, and we want to put all of these talks into a paper to some degree, but much like this morning's sermon, I want it to serve as a template for future elders. My prayer is that this little talk here in the next 10 minutes would serve as a template that others can come back to and listen to see really the trajectory that we desire for our church to go, that we're aiming to lay out here. And what we are aiming to lay out here then is that as a local church, the key to getting the gospel around the world is our dedicating ourselves to it, to us being zealous about it. And if it is essential to the gospel going, then it must be central to the sending of gospel proclaimers, that this would be central to what we do. So how does a local church? Here's a few questions I want to answer in this time. Let me tell you three. The conclusion's a third question. The first one is, how does a local church send missionaries well? How does a local church send missionaries well? So what does it actually mean for the local church to be central in sending out missionaries? Four things seem especially clear. Okay, so you can write these four things down. Number one, evaluation. The local church must evaluate those who desire to go. It means that before a local church takes responsibility to evaluate the character and abilities of members before recommending them to a mission sending agency or to another church that's somewhere else around the world to go there. The church, as the community, then knows that person best and therefore should be willing to test and evaluate their character, their gifts, their fruitfulness, their knowledge, and their suitability as best that they can. So, if we're going to send missionaries, we must evaluate them. We must examine them. We must test them, much in the same way that we do with elders and deacons. Very much in the same way. This means that our church should view missionary qualifications as similar to those of pastors or deacons. As our expectation of missions work is simply ministry, gospel ministry, in another context. That's all missions really is, right? It is gospel ministry happening somewhere else. We want to send our most mature, godly, and steadfast members to the nations, not just those who want to. The second thing then is that we must teach and train. We must evaluate and then we must teach and train. This means the majority of teaching and training we prayerfully hope will take place in the local church. As Paul exhorts Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2, we looked at this as we thought about discipleship. It is in the local church that faithful men and women should be taught so that they can in turn pass on the gospel truths to others. Through the regular preaching and doctrinal teaching, it's the local church that trains up missionaries along with everyone else. This is the aim of discipleship, right? This is what I've been getting at. And a local church is also the normal place to oversee. So catch that. That the local church is the place that oversees any special training or teaching that missionary candidates might receive. So if one of you feels so called to be a missionary and you desire to go to seminary, just because you go to a seminary doesn't mean that our church just lets go of you and we don't hear from you for 4 years, then you suddenly show back up. You're like, hey, I'm ready to be a missionary. No, we would still oversee that education and care for you in it. Number three, then, how does a local church send missionaries? Well, by sending and supporting and overseeing and caring. Let me flesh this out a little bit. None of this keeps a local church from partnering with another church or churches or missionary societies to send or to help to send and support workers. Paul's letter to the Philippians indicates that there were a number of local churches involved in supporting his missionary team. You have in Acts 15, the sending with authorization of the church in Antioch. And we'll talk about this next. But providing for material and spiritual support, which is what's held out there in 3 John. That's also why we as a church want to support a few missionaries as well. Right? In many churches, they give so much money to so many people that it's spread so thin. But as a church, our vision is more that we would give a lot of money to a few people so that we can support them well. Support a few missionaries as well as we can. And not a lot of them poorly. We want to send out well. We want to care for them generously. In the same way that this church is generous to her pastors, we also want to be generous in how we support, care for, and send our missionaries. And so then, let's go to the second question. How can we set ourselves up to be able to accomplish this? How do we set ourselves up to be able to accomplish this? There are really, let's see how many I got. Five things that we can do to accomplish this well. Write these down. You want me to give them to you ahead of time, and then I'll go back through them. Would that be helpful? Okay. Number one, teach. Number two, build. Number three, disciple. Number four, cooperate. And number five, care. Teach, build, disciple, cooperate, care. So how do we accomplish the vision of raising up and sending out? We teach. Teaching God's word is most fundamental to our mission's task. We want to mobilize our members through biblical preaching and teaching on missions, in particular by shaping our congregation's view of the gospel and God's word as a glorious message. This is something we should want to share. People are dying. They need the gospel. We should want to go and have a burden to support the work being done around the world. And as we do preach and teach, we want to raise the missionary command of the gospel. One thing that you will hear your pastors remind the members of regularly, that it's possible God is calling you to uproot yourself and your family and move to another place and do exactly what you're doing here, but in a different country or city or context. That God may very well be doing that. This is a regular part and expectation of the Christian walk. Telling others about Christ. And in particular, telling others who don't know. We want to encourage everyone at this church to organize their lives around the good news of Jesus Christ, whether that is here or overseas. That doesn't matter. What matters is what is our life centered around. Number two, then, we want to build. We want to be a biblical church. This is the organizational means for sending. Do you realize that one of the best things we can do for missions work is continuing to build a healthy church here? That in sending those out, as we send missionaries to the field, we want them to go into the nations understanding what a biblical church should look like. Yeah, in different contexts, that church may look different. They may sing different kinds of songs. The length of the service may be different. The prayers and what order they're prayed in may be different. How they do prayer meetings, it all may be different depending on the context. But what are the essential parts of a healthy church? We want them to carry that as they go. And so the way that we do that is by building a healthy church here and now. And number three, we disciple. We're training and equipping members to intentionally go. We want to follow Christ's command of teaching his disciples all that he commanded so that they can go out and do it. But more specifically, we want to have discipling ministries that foster this, such as the Waverly Seminars that I mentioned this morning. We've considered maybe having missions reading groups down the road, regularly praying for our workers and that God would send more from among us. We want to do short-term trips with our missionaries or with other churches or missionary organizations. Which leads to number four, we want to cooperate. We want to send teams in cooperation with the sending agencies. We do not believe that we have the corner market on the gospel or international missions. Therefore, we want to partner with other churches and organizations that are fulfilling the biblical mandate. So this means short-term trips alongside other churches or with missionaries, or long-time ministry partnerships with organizations that prioritize biblical church planting. This means that we're not going to partner with ministries that demean or belittle churches and church planting and the establishment of God's people. But number five, then, we want to care. We want to maintain theological and pastoral oversight of our missionaries. We want to do sending and supporting based on close relationships instead of financially giving to unknown works. We want to keep up those relationships. We want to pay visits to our missionaries. We want to give calls to them and show hospitality, seeking to actually serve those on the field. One sister I know made it one of her missions while she was single to go and visit missionaries, and she would babysit their kids for a couple weeks at a time so that the mom and dad could go on a short little vacation. Have you ever thought about this? Missionaries, what does vacation look like for them? What does it look like to get a babysitter in a foreign country where you know no one? This is a way that we could care for our missionaries. This looks like delegating, but never abdicating. For example, we're happy to delegate and trust finances to those who work for the same ends. But we know as elders of this church that every person we send out, we are still accountable to the Lord for their spiritual well-being. Which leads to the final question I want to ask. When we put all of this together, what do we get? And I'll end here. We get number one, local churches that are the central means to God's missionary plan. This is the organizational means for the fulfillment of the Great Commission. Don't miss that. I emphasized it this morning. I want to emphasize it again. That the local church is God's ordained means for fulfilling the Great Commission. The Great Commission. That it is Jesus who will build his church. And this is what Jesus is actively building. He's not building a parachurch organization. He's not building a fun group of people who like to hang out. He's building a church. He's building a gathering, a kingdom for his name. So it leads to the second thing, that local churches are both the means and the aim of God's missionary plan. Churches send missionaries who gather other local churches. Churches planting churches is the plan for the global gospel advance. So this is what we're going to give ourselves to. This is how we can practically do it. So those are, I don't know how many, 9 different things that you can take up and think about. If you missed them because I went through them too quick, I've recorded it so you can go back and listen to it again so that we may be like those that John commends in this letter, that we support well and we would send those who are worthy of God. Well, let me pray for us and we'll close our time by singing. Lord God, we do pray and we ask that you would give us a greater, grander vision for taking the gospel to the nations. Even this evening, as we've meditated on the call to go, and the call to equip, the call to send and support, God. Help us to think richly and deeply about this so that we may fulfill what your word commands us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.